the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are on the planet Earth. We're 30,000 feet in the sky the day after the Super Bowl. Yes, it's a sad day, but it's been made a little more tolerable in spite of many travel difficulties. Leaving New York City, we woke up to snow, and more snow. We didn't know if we'd get on our flight. We've been sitting some more, but we're airborne now on our way from New York City to LAX. We can't bite our lips for another moment. We have to talk about what we saw on Super Bowl Sunday. Nay, entire Super Bowl week in New York City. Let's review it all right now, shall we? By the way, let me mention that, as always, the Dave Dameshek Football Program is available on iTunes and at NFL.com/Sheck. All right, let's dig into it now. So many directions to go. Let's start it off with my main man, who is turned around backwards in his seat like a champion. He rises to the occasion. My main man, it's Adam Rank. What's the poop?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me. I know I don't want to jump into this immediately, but I know everybody who's been following us, listening to us for years, knows where I'm going to go right off the bat of what we saw on Sunday night. And I have to say this. Bruno Mars was fantastic.
Ah, you stinker. You did a misdirection. The point is that, you know, we, Rank and I, let our opinions be known on Peyton Manning. Many people called us haters. It wasn't hate. Peyton seems like a lovely man. We'll talk about it a little bit more here. He seemed absolutely delightful, but we did foretell of what was going to happen, what his fate would be at the hands of the Seattle Seahawks, and so it was. Next up, let's say hello to another chum all the way from across the Atlantic Ocean. Not long ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, he jumped another airplane and flew from London and landed in his destiny, a.k.a. Football America. It's Handsome Hank. Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I have been better, Dave. On that flight that you talked about, I was not sitting in seat 23E, sandwiched in the middle seat. Exactly where Peyton Manning is right now on the Broncos charter flight. This is not a good spot for me right now.
The Broncos made Peyton fly in the middle seat. I suppose that's what he deserves.
Right in the back row of the plane. That's exactly where I am, is where Peyton is. And he's probably as uncomfortable as I am. Maybe a little more after yesterday, in fact.
Not to mention he's probably wedged in between the two sweatiest guys in the building like you are, too.
Exactly.
How dare you is what I'd like to say. But on the other hand, let me say this. Coming up very soon for your viewing pleasure, I had some day yesterday. It was truly super. Had nothing really to do with football before the game. But I kibitzed with the Hollywood elite, A-listers. Finally, I fulfilled my destiny, because that's who I deserve to rub elbows with, really. Hugh Jackman, Aaron Paul, Kevin Costner, Dennis Leary, and Jennifer Garner. As long as Black Tie didn't delete it, we'll have that video for you in the coming days and or weeks, plus a lot of good stuff that we went to NFL Honors on Saturday night, and we kibitzed with Colin Kaepernick, and who else, Black Tie?
Brandon Marshall, we had
Freddie Morris,
who wanted to sing, and for some reason you did not let him sing. We had Adrian Peterson, the GOAT, Jerry Rice.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had Adrian Peterson.
Wait, hold on.
Was delightful. Patrick Peterson was a delight. But I got to give my MVP to that night, to Brandon Marshall. He and I we realized very quickly that we were soulmates.
Hold on. That Saturday night at Honors, you spoke with every Pittsburgh luminary that you could possibly. Jim Kelly.
Harris. I gave them all cheese cubes. It was a grand time. All right, listen, it's been too long since we've seen him and kibitzed with him on the show, and now I've taken 5 minutes before we introduced him. Seated to my immediate left, across the aisle, people coming to and fro between us as they go to make their water in the dirty toilet at the back of the plane. Here he is, everybody, at Move the Sticks. Soon you'll watch him talking about the combine and all that jazz, all the noteworthy players that are going to be drafted coming up in May. It's Daniel Jeremiah. What's the poop with you, fella?
appreciate you having me, Dave.
Oh,
nice
sure.
Nice to be back with the fellas.
It's a good booking on the plane. You were the best of the options we had.
Well, I appreciate it. I gotta give my pal Kavi a solid here too, because I was rocking the C boarding pass, and I could be in Handsome's same situation with the middle seat, but he sacrificed. He made a bold sacrifice. He slid over to the middle, gave me an aisle seat. Forever grateful.
I mean, inspired, I assume, by Pete Carroll's way, you know?
Right.
It's all about team. That's what it's about.
Oh, and the other thing, is a lot of times on these podcasts, for various reasons, be it maybe not seeing any movies that were successful at any point in time, we will take shots at Black Tie, but I want to let you know, on this podcast, I will not be taking any shots at him, strictly because he's located directly in front of me and has been kind enough not to put the seat back.
Oh,
so
if he does
recline, then that neck pillow he's been rocking for the whole flight is fair game.
Yes, Black Tie is outfitted as though he anticipated that he was flying to Tokyo and then not getting off the plane, flying immediately back to L.A. He has his jammies on, neck pillow. He all manner of comfort that he can possibly squeeze out of the back of this plane. All right, fellas, listen. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it all. I'm going to start with you, Rank.
Okay.
Before, you know, I want to talk about the whole week, but I did have a piece of gum just a minute ago, and I do want to go on the record with this. Of all the mint-flavored gums, wintergreen is the worst. Can we agree on that? It looks good, the blue packaging, but it's the worst. I go peppermint, spearmint, then wintergreen. How say you?
No, spearmint's my number one. It's been rock
right
solid.
Answer. Spearmint right is answer. The number one.
Often overlooked because how consistently great it is, and yet it's still and it plays well in the clutch too. If you need it to come up in a big moment, you know that it'll show up for you. It won't bobble the first snap of the game and let it trickle into the end zone.
Now,
that's not what's going to happen.
So refreshing. The worst of the worst, though, is cinnamon. Cinnamon actually.
No, there's a new one out called Cinnamint.
I won't have it.
Which that's is off.
Unnatural. Unnatural. All right, Rank. Highlight of the week, or it could even be Sunday night. Was it? Listen, it doesn't make you a small man. You and I have taken much heat over the last many months for saying, listen, Peyton Manning is a nice guy. He is he's the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. And it's not a matter of saying that he chokes when he plays in big games. Rather, it's a matter that his style doesn't lend itself to success against the top-tier competition. Go ahead and gloat if you want.
I'm not going to do that. I want to talk more. Listen, it was fun. I understand. And I appreciate everybody who came out on Twitter and was retweeting all the Bronco fans tweet to me during the week about how much of a moron I was for predicting a 38-12 score. So I do want to say thank you to all those guys. It's very nice of you, very sweet of you. I appreciate it. Not necessary. I felt, you know, we stuck to our guns. I held true. I didn't hedge my bets or do anything like that. So I feel good about that. What I really feel good for is, as a West Coast person, I was very skeptical that a Super Bowl in New York would work. But I was amazed at how perfectly everything went. The whole week was fantastic. Super Bowl Boulevard, which I spent a lot of time on for NFL.com Live, that was fantastic. Getting to the state, if the whole thing boiled down to was I had to spend an extra 20 minutes commuting to the Super Bowl, if that was my big problem for the whole week, I would still give it an A+.
I wonder if we'd sing a different tune if it would have snowed on Sunday the way it snowed on Monday morning, or if it had been the 10 degrees that it was on Tuesday on Sunday. I wonder how that would have played out in history. Daniel Jeremiah, how say you? What's your best memory or worst memory of Super Bowl week in NYC?
Well, I agree with Rank. It went, you know, smoother than I expected it to. The first day I got in there Tuesday, it was a little cold.
Yes, I was out too.
The first couple days, a little bit cold, and it just got warmer every single day. It really was a nice week. The highlight of the week, man, tell you what, I went to a couple parties, had some fun at some parties.
A front runner. I didn't get to go. I didn't. Get,
I went to a couple.
For four straight years of going to Super Bowls for the entire week, I'm not jive. I have not been invited to one of these parties. Everybody talks about, oh, Jay-Z's at the one. Oh, this band. Oh, Jay Glazer. This. Everybody. I've never been invited to one. Why don't you go to those? I've never been invited.
This is how it goes though, because I go to these parties. And it's not because My wife came out for a couple days, so that made it nice. But it's not because I really am into the music or anything. I just want to be able to tell my wife who some of the famous people are. And so, you know, you're probably not at the biggest party when you're like, honey, there's Joe Scarborough. Check him out. That's him. That's Joe Scarborough. Just walked in. Trust me, it's him. It's him.
Scarborough, the biggest star sighting of the week for
yes,
you.
Yes, that was
NYC.
A big one. That was a big one.
All right, Handsome Hank, how say you?
Well, up until right now, when I became a part of the historic first ever plane cast, I think this is my highlight. But before that, Dave, our culinary tour of America continued, and eating wiener with you in, I think, New York's number one wiener restaurant spot. It was a delight.
I make no bones about the fact that I enjoy good wieners. And, you know, like you say, on Tuesday past...
How much wiener did we eat, would you say?
Almost hard to calculate.
Right.
I'll tell you this. There was one wiener that tasted of earth.
Right.
You know, and that doesn't sound good, but trust me.
It was delicious.
It was divine.
How about the spicy leather wiener?
The leathery wiener, yeah. I like the spicy leather wiener. It was so good. And then we went, you know, then we also had a Polish wiener.
Yep.
And this was a fancy place. This wasn't some low-end stand-of-the-counter joint. We went, it was a terrific thing. It was a swank kind of joint. I don't know, even Cannibal was the name.
The Cannibal.
Then we went to an Italian joint with Matt Money Smith, his favorite neighborhood joint, down in, I don't remember the name of that place. I think it was, I don't remember what it was called, but I can tell you, Rick Riley and Adam Schefter and Brian Cushing.
And Trent Dilfer
were there at the table next to us. And
were they being paid?
Well, I'll tell you this. When we left, Rick Riley was singing Fly Me to the Moon to Trent Dilfer.
And
karaoke with the microphone and the piano.
And as good as he was, the three bums outside that sang to us as we left the restaurant were a lot better.
Yeah, you know what? When I think about it, I think you're right about that. And then also the next night, I went with the Around the League boys, Hanzus, Wessling, and Sessler. We went to the Strip House, big steak with a big, you know, prehistoric style bone sticking out of the meat and all that jazz. And that was great. And Monty Ball and No'Shawn Moreno were there. We had the same waiter. The waiter told him, we said, good tippers? He said, no, they were not. So... anyway, maybe there was some justice then in the way things went down.
So did Peyton Manning choke or not?
Are you growing bored with our culinary?
No, board? I just can't believe that. I cannot believe that with you.
Oh wait, I've got one other story. No. What do we need to say? Like I appreciate you. You're being very.
No,
sweet.
This is your moment.
Your
time.
You want me to be like Bobby?
I thought that the beginning of when TD goes back, when Black Tie goes back and puts this whole thing together. I imagine that before you guys start talking about Peyton Manning, they will play One Shining Moment, and then you guys can just go into
How about
it.
This?
One
How about this?
Choking moment.
One choking moment, absolutely. How about this? How about I play Bobby the Brain Heenan from 1996 when Hollywood Hogan joined the NWO, and he had his moment of satisfaction. He said, I knew it all along. I've been telling all you humanoids for years. This guy's a phony. This guy's a ham and egger. Is that what you want? Because I'm not going to give it to you, Jeremiah. I'll tell you why. Because
I want
you
guys to have your moment. That's
no, because I went out, I made a prediction, and I stuck to it, and it came true. I can't do it because I'm often wrong about stuff as well. It's like he's just the most high-profile guy. And, you know, there's a lot of fanboys out there, guys like Dan Hanzus of the Around the League podcast, who love Peyton Manning. Yes, boo him. I know that Greg – I know he's sitting out. Oh, you. Oh, I'm sorry. TD or Black Tie wants to be known as the biggest Peyton Manning fanboy, so I'm sorry. No, because I...
Perfect timing. Optimal timing by Black Tie to embrace Peyton Manning the day after that
this
game.
This is it.
Well, by the way, let's just, you know, I think he is Peyton Manning. Here's the great thing about him. He goes to Richard Sherman after the game and asks after his health. You hurt your ankle, are you all right? After an apocalyptically awful game for the Denver Broncos, all the legacy talk, who knows what's going to be with Peyton Manning, that's a cool move by him. But DJ, it can't be debated. He really threw some memorably atrocious balls. That first pick he threw, dreadful. Anytime he exceeded 15 yards with the ball, it looked like Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, and look, I mean, he's going to be the focus of the whole game, and you guys have your points. He did not play well, did not throw the ball very well. It was the biggest stage, and he didn't deliver. But again, and you're going to hear this from all the Peyton backers, they're going to come out. They're going to backs against the wall, and they're going to come out, and they're going to say, I'm just telling you, it's going to be, he didn't give up the kick return. Demaryius Thomas' fumble. The first snap of the game, the center, they put that on the center. Like, there's a lot of blame to go around. But to your guys' point, it was the biggest stage, and you have to have your best player, especially if he's in the conversation as being the best player, you know, currently.
Which
in the
you'll
league,
no longer be.
All time, you have to have him play at a higher level than what Peyton played. You can't defend that.
Well, and the other thing is, too, you know, people keep saying, well, you can't, it's not to discredit Peyton, you have to credit the Seattle defense. I think you can do both things. You know, this is the most prolific single season in NFL history for an offense, and the Seattle Seahawks held them to 8 points. The defense literally outscored the Broncos' offense. A phenomenal deed for all of time. Handsome Hank, what stood out to you most from the game? What was most striking?
Well, I mean, we went into it talking about this matchup between the number one offense and number one defense, and it just didn't come out like that. You know, the Seahawks offense, it was always going to come down to which of the two weaker units or supposed weaker units, the Seahawks offense or the Broncos defense played better. And the Seahawks offense didn't just play better than the Broncos defense, it played better than Broncos offense as well. And that was the difference in the game.
I'll tell you, if I told you this, you know, I always like those things when I say, if I told you that this guy was going to have that kind of game, you wouldn't believe the result. I can't remember another that's more like this. Peyton Manning sets the record for completions in a Super Bowl. Demaryius Thomas sets the record for receptions in a Super Bowl. And Marshawn Lynch goes, what, 15 for 47?
Right.
If I gave you those numbers, you would say, well, obviously the Broncos beat them by what? 4 touchdowns or 8 touchdowns? Amazing the way... And the other thing is this about this matchup. I feel like if the 49ers played the Seahawks on a neutral site 10 times, I bet you they'd split, or maybe the Seahawks would win 6 or the Niners would win 6. Either way, they're pretty evenly matched. I saw nothing on Sunday that if you played that game again, you wouldn't maybe get the kickoff return, you wouldn't get the pick 6, but I see nothing that would lead me to believe that the result, that the winning team would ever not be the Seahawks.
Before we answer that question, we are located in the very back of the plane, right next to the restroom. Does anybody happen to have any air fresheners, some Febreze?
It's beginning to smell pretty bad back here.
Oh, now, okay, now that we're starting to talk about Peyton Manning, now you want to take it off that direction. You were bemoaning the
fact. I can't even think straight back here.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. A lot of things, and this is what I've heard from the Peyton Manning fanboys today, is like, hey, any quarterback would have lost to the Seattle Seahawks. Oh, you really? How about Carson Palmer? How about the guy who went to Seattle and beat the Seattle Seahawks? How about Colin Kaepernick, who beat him? Like,
didn't Palmer throw 4 picks? Did he throw 4 picks in that game?
It's still the Arizona Cardinals won, and this is a thing. Next year, here's the thing. Draft Peyton Manning on your fantasy team. He's going to go out and throw 70 touchdown passes. He's going to probably throw for 7,000 yards. They'll never run the ball, but it won't matter because come playoff time, the same thing happens year in, year out.
Rank, this is just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. The man made it
I
to
was
the
just
Super
propping
Bowl.
Him.
The man made it to the Super Bowl.
Sorry, wait. The flight attendant's going by. Do you want to? What did you think of the? We'll get her on her way back. I want to get her thoughts on the Super Bowl as well. Go ahead, Flag.
The man made it to the Super Bowl, won the MVP for the 5th time in a row, and you're just going to dismiss him because he came up against maybe an all-time great defense who was all over their game plan. I'm not saying another quarterback could have done better. But a quarterback like Peyton Manning was more prototypical pocket passer, not the biggest arm. We were going to struggle against that Seattle defense. That's just a fact. Like, give props to the Seahawks defense and stop trying to act like Peyton Manning is.
Hold on. Black Tie is finally embracing what we've said all along. Great regular season quarterback. He's a guy who puts up Madden-type numbers. It's like the guys who want to go out and play Madden and put it on rookie level and set all sorts of records. That's what Manning is. And you put out a perfect analogy about the Atlanta Braves during the regular season, but he's not a playoff quarterback, and that's just the way he's always
been. He's not a playoff quarterback, and he made it to the Super Bowl. The man made it to the Super Bowl, you're going to act like, you know, like he's not even, like...
Black guy, he must rise.
I agree.
If he is the $20 million man, again, as I keep saying, you cannot then become egalitarian and say, well, it wasn't his fault that the opening snap went over his head. And so, you know, he wasn't on the special teams when Percy Harvin returned that. Yeah, those guys don't make $20 million. He is the team. He has to make them go. It is on him.
And he got embarrassed in the biggest game of the season. And then afterwards he said that embarrassing, it's an insult to be told that it's an embarrassment.
See,
well, Wes Welker said that it was an embarrassment.
That's why I'm defending Peyton Manning. Yeah. He was, you know, and you know, despair, he was depressed probably, but he was still, you know, mindful of the moments and be like, hey guys, you know, essentially he's giving the Seahawks props when he said this is not embarrassing. They got their asses kicked. That's what happened. Like, to say they're, you know, like, it was embarrassing, like, they didn't even try. Come on, guys. You got to give props to the team that wins sometimes. It was a blowout. It started off wrong. But come on. Peyton Manning is still a top five quarterback to me, for sure.
All right, DJ, let's not, because now the so-called narrative about Peyton Manning has been set aside in favor of picking up. The talking heads have now picked up. Is this the greatest defense of all time? Is the Seattle defense? From what you've seen, you're younger than I am. I would put a couple other defenses I don't know that you've ever looked at before. But where do you, you know, talk about the Bears of 85 and the Buccaneers, Super Bowl team, the Ravens, and so on.
I would say you could make a strong case it's the best Super Bowl secondary, or maybe the best secondary, you know, in the last, you know, quarter century. I think you can make a statement like that. I think it's a bold statement, but I think it's definitely worth fighting for. In terms of the best overall defense, look, I joined the Ravens a couple years after the Super Bowl, but the nucleus of that defense was still together. And with that front seven, as dominant as they were, I wouldn't put Seattle up there. You know, if you have a choice, if I have a choice to have a dominant secondary or a dominant front seven, I'll take the dominant front seven.
How say you, handsome?
I think DJ's right. I don't think that this is going to be one of the greats of all time. But what Mike Silver wrote on NFL.com on Monday morning immediately after the Super Bowl was that this might be the blueprint for defenses going forward. And I think that's a pretty good point. Those big, aggressive defensive backs are going to be something that teams look at. And as every year after teams win a Super Bowl, people want to steal something from them.
Somebody, though, I talked to a buddy that's a personnel executive after the Super Bowl. He made a great point. He said, when you watch that game, it just looked like one fast, energetic team
right.
From the coach to the players on the field in Seattle, and then everything in Denver just looked old, stale, and slow. It's just what it looked like when you watch it on TV. So, you know, look, I think on defense, used to be maybe, you know, during the Belichick teams, those defenses, was so much was on size, they were huge. I mean, our own Willie McGinnis, outside linebacker, Will Fork, these guys, they were enormous. Now I think you're seeing a change. I think you're going to try and get a defense as fast and as explosive as you can get. And the interesting thing going forward, if you look at that NFC West with San Francisco, with Seattle, and then throw in Arizona and St. Louis, that is some defensive speed in that division.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if the Seahawks get back there and win it next year, but I would not at all be surprised if the NFC West is representing the NFC in the Super Bowl for the next several years.
You know, by the way, as we fly 30,000 feet in the sky, we have an engaging football-based conversation. I'm wondering, maybe we're setting ourselves up for something. I'm sure as we will fly on Southwest, and, you know, Handsome Hank was about an hour ago, he was in the back of the plane because it's a chartered flight. He was mixing drinks of all manner for people, making Bailey's Irish
all
Cream.
Soft.
I asked, the only drink you couldn't make me, I asked for a mojito, and you couldn't get it for
I'm
me.
I'm sorry, I asked the pilot to stop for some fresh sprigs of mint. But he just wasn't going to do it.
You have your muddling thing?
I had the muddling thing and everything else. I was just short on mint.
That's a shame. DJ, though, on one hand, I agree. Yeah, the speed and everything else. It looked like, as I anticipated it might, against that kind of a defense. And, it, you know, Tom Brady might have met the same fate. It looks like an outmoded iPhone. You know, Peyton Manning sort of feels like a 90s... one of those big fat mobile phones, you know, when you look at them, he kind of resembles that. But on the other hand, to be fair, everybody now, and I've perpetuated as much as anybody the idea, the running quarterback is the wave now, and now you have Russell Wilson, who was just dynamite, by the way, in the first period there. After they get up 2-0, he kept those drives alive. It didn't seem like the Broncos ever had the ball even in the first half, it seemed like they barely had it, because he was missing some throws, was Russell Wilson, but on third downs, he kept drilling throws. But to be fair, isn't it almost a guarantee that once you get to, once Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, all those guys get to their second contracts, isn't it going to be the same result, which is to say that just as the Broncos have to be built around Peyton Manning and you have to rob Peter to pay Paul, isn't that going to be the same thing?
Well, what's going to happen is it's going to put an enormous pressure on the front office, John Schneider and that Seattle front office, to keep hitting on draft picks, because once you look at the team now with the Richard Sherman you're getting in the fifth round, Malcolm Smith is the MVP of the Super Bowl, seventh round pick, you have to continue to hit on those third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, because eventually once all these guys hit the market, like you said, you're not going to be able to keep them all, which means you have to have more in the pipeline, you have to keep drafting well. That's the pressure. They have to be able to produce starters, some cheap starters, to offset those high contracts, and those cheap starters come in the later portion of the draft. That's where the pressure is going
to
be.
DJ, outside of...
Isn't that a credit to what Pete Carroll had done? Because when they came in to that organization, they made like 200 transactions, cutting, releasing guys, making all sorts of draft picks, going after guys like Richard Sherman. Bruce Irvin was like a highly questionable draft pick, even drafting Russell Wilson in the third round because it was seen as like, this guy doesn't even fit their offense, and they just put all that money to Matt Flynn. Is it seems to me, as long as they continue to bring in great guys, or guys who can still play well. Like, that was the one thing that killed the Cowboys dynasty of the 90s, was that they started losing guys like Jay Novacek and guys like Charles Haley.
They didn't
spent
draft
countless
well.
Drafts trying to find them, and they're drafting guys like David LaFleur,
Shante Carver,
guys like that. That's the key. Like, I think even if Russell Wilson has to get a big-time contract, as long as they're still drafting guys like Richard Sherman in the fifth round, this team can be all right.
Well, yeah, that's tough. That's very tough to duplicate. The only thing I will say, though, to get back to your other point, Dave, about the athletic quarterback, the wave of the future versus the pocket quarterback, I don't think that's what this Super Bowl was about. I don't think Russell Wilson's mobility was the story of this Super Bowl. I think it was about building a dominant defense and a quarterback that could make timely plays. And we saw it over the last few years with Eli Manning's Super Bowls. It's the same thing. He's not a mobile guy, but he played that key role, could get hot and play well in the playoffs. But I just think you're looking at it now where it's like, we don't have to have our quarterback be a top three, a top five guy. We can build a complete team, plug in the quarterback, and win the whole thing, which you didn't used to be able to say.
So, DJ, outside of Russell Wilson, who's the one guy that they need to make sure that they keep hold of?
Well, I look at two guys, truthfully. You look, take Russell Wilson, he's the quarterback, that's right. The obvious one. Earl Thomas might be my number one, even over Richard Sherman, and then Richard Sherman would be 1B. If that's 1A, that's 1B. Those two guys, those are the two guys I think that are very difficult to replace.
And you think the three of those guys, Wilson,
they're
Sherman,
all going to get paid, and they'll all be Seahawks for a long time.
Right. All right, here's something I always loved, that or have loved for at least a quarter century now. As soon as the national championship in college hoops is decided, that night, Dickie V always issues his top five teams for there's people shouting here. Listen, please be a professional. Please be a professional, fellas. Please, we're trying to do professional work.
And by the
here,
way, if you guys can get a beer tonight, while you guys are up there,
a full round, please.
Full
Thank
round.
You. Beef right.
Now, three listen. Beers and a Diet Coke, please. Diet Pepsi, the official sponsor of the NFL.
I always like when Dickie V issues his top five. So let's do that real quick, fellas. I know things are going to change. We haven't even drafted yet, free agency, all yet to come. But we can kind of see where things are going to be to some degree, obviously. So I'll start with Adam Rank here.
Okay.
I know it's crazy to get into this already, but I love growing up listening to it. Dickie V do it, so let's do it ourselves. Where are we going to be in Arizona, Glendale, Arizona?
Right.
I guess 52 weeks from now, who will we have watched in the Super Bowl?
You know, I always like what John Madden used to do, and he'd always say, "Hey, until somebody knocks off the champs, they're still the champs.
That's
I'll stick with them."
Though,
I know.
Everybody's declared as they do every year. Hey, this team's going to be around for. Seattle's going to be in this for a long time, as though there isn't such a thing as free agency anymore.
Yeah, probably so. You know, the thing is, though, when you made the point about how this team still has depth, how they don't have to pay a lot for their quarterback, they're still going to be there. San Francisco's still going to be there. Arizona's going to be a very good team. St. Louis, or maybe Los Angeles by the time we're talking about 2015.
Yeah, let's get it going already.
You know what? Like, those four teams are going to be great. The Packers will be back. You look at, I think the Eagles. Like,
there's only three teams you haven't mentioned yet. You want to get those out of the way, too?
You just named all the 2013 playoff
teams. I'm not talking about a team from the AFC. Everybody accuses me of being a Patriots fan. I'll just say the Patriots are the best team in the AFC. I'll go with them, but it's going to be four teams in the NFC who are round out the top five. Oh. I would say Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona, Green Bay.
Can I give you my team that I'm intrigued by going into next year? How about the Detroit Lions? Everybody's going to be off of them, right? Nobody's going to be on that bandwagon anymore. Jim Caldwell coming there could have a calming influence on
them.
I think Jim Caldwell for Matt Stafford will be a calming influence on him. I think it'll be good for him.
I'm surprised by that. I agree with you that the bodies are there. I just don't love the I don't love that it feels so uninspired.
I think
such a retread move thing.
When you look at the Lions, I think they're going to be better suited to be kind of coming from the back of the pack with no expectations, and they can just play free and easy. I think they're going to be in a decent spot next year.
Handsome Hank, how say you? Who do you like? Give me two teams out of both conferences.
Well, I'm going to say that the Super Bowl this time next year will be flying back from Arizona, and we'll have seen two teams from the same two divisions.
We're not flying. We're driving.
We're driving. All right, we'll take the bus. But we're going to have seen two teams from the same divisions in the Super Bowl, and it'll be San Francisco and Kansas City.
Ooh, the KC Chiefs.
There you go.
And who's going to win that one?
The 49ers.
May as well stick your neck way out.
Exactly.
Will I get mileage for that if I drive back from that Super Bowl?
DJ, you also mentioned we were kibitzing because the buzz. It's funny. I picked up a couple things this week, and it is great fun. And yes, it's it's rubbing elbows with the football elite and all that stuff, and it is fun, but it is also informative. And I talked to two people with Cleveland, and it just sounds like, I don't know, you always hear it smoke and mirrors, but it certainly sounds like they legitimately want Johnny Football.
Yeah, they haven't made that much of a secret, which sometimes the information's flowing so freely, you almost start to wonder if it is it a smoke screen? I mean, they're almost trying to get this out here how much they love Johnny Football. But when you look at the way that team's made up, this is a team that's going to be intriguing to follow this offseason too. Two first round picks, a whole lot of salary cap room, and you look at the quarterback decision they're going to make. Is Hoyer going to be a bridge to the next guy, or are they just going to bring in a guy like Johnny Football and just let him roll? This is a team that's going to be fun to watch.
But instead of Johnny Football, let's say even he goes to the Texans. So then their decision is Teddy Bridgewater, which is another thing I learned. They don't want Teddy Bridgewater. Right? They really don't seem interested in him, although they do like Blake Bortles. Let's say they don't go QB in the first round. This was a gangbusters idea, I thought.
Yeah, what if they decide that they want to take a quarterback with their second one, which is, I believe, is 26 overall, which could be a guy like, say, a Derek Carr or somebody like that. Or maybe they wait till the second round to get their quarterback. And then with that high first-round pick, what if they just took Sammy Watkins and paired him up with Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron, and find yourself a back in the offseason, a free agency, what have you. That could all of a sudden, even Brian Hoyer, a guy kind of a distributor, that's not a bad group to play with.
I'll tell you, it is amazing, though. I agree that that's an interesting team. You know, the Bengals, who knows what they'll do. Actually, where do you think, because the Andy Dalton experiment, I know that they've been pretty, they've given a lot of rope to Marvin Harris, to Marvin Lewis, and I guess deservedly so. He's now gone to the playoffs three straight years. But whether it's Marvin Lewis or Andy Dalton, it feels like if I were a Cincinnati Bengals fan, I'd feel pretty unexcited if they really don't do anything at the quarterback.
Right.
Into 2014, but still, like, really, still Dalton with no competition?
You could see them being the Texans of 2014, where they go into the season with high hopes and then realize that not only is Andy Dalton not the guy to get them over the hump to a Super Bowl, but he may not be the guy who can even get them into the playoffs.
Well, and then that is what makes me ask, who is the best free agent QB? Obviously, if you get you know, the paradigm of waiting a couple years before the rookie QB, before the young QB delivers, is way out the window at this point. But if they don't land a QB, who's the best free agent, DJ? Is it Mike Vick? Is that the best you can do?
You've got Michael Vick. We'll see what happens with Matt Schaub. You know, can you get something out of him in a new spot? Maybe he can kind of give you what he had before. I believe, is McCown up, or did he get redone? I don't know if Josh McCown re-signed in Chicago or if he's still a free agent.
I don't
have my laptop open up here 30,000 feet above ground. But that'd be one I keep an eye on. By the way, trick question. Which is longer, Rank's list of Super Bowl contenders or this bathroom line in the back of the airplane?
Ty, who is this character? Don't you know we're spinning 30,000 feet in the air and you're standing right in between us? You know what? I commend you, though, because unlike Peyton Manning, who could navigate around that loaded backfield and still find his target, you have still hit the mark in my book, Daniel Jeremiah. What about answer this? What is the likelihood? You know how these personnel things go. I've speculated about this for the last 6 weeks. Won't the Patriots let Ryan Mallett? Won't they, with Belichick's love of draft picks? Won't they? Isn't it, if you're the Texans, let's say, or the Bengals maybe, or the Browns maybe? Mike Lombardi loves Ryan Mallett supposedly. Bill O'Brien down in Houston was the quarterback coach of Ryan Mallett early on. Would you offer up, if you're Cleveland or one of those other teams, or the Tech, would you say, we'll give you a second-round pick for Ryan Mallett? Wouldn't that make sense?
Depends on what they think of the quarterbacks up at the top of the draft. That's gonna tell us, obviously, what their evaluation is on those guys. If they not necessarily have to make the trade, but if they're in the discussions for a guy like Ryan Mallett, that tells you they're not as enamored with Johnny Manziel and company as much as they've tried to, you know, put out there that they are.
But he's good, though, right? I mean, he's got the big arm. He had such 5 years ago. He's been with Tom Brady now for 4 years. That's got to work out for
him. But you just haven't seen a lot on an NFL field in real game action. That's the one thing we haven't seen. So you're guessing just like you'd be guessing some of these college kids.
All right. You're right, but it's a guess, but make the guess. Would you rather have Blake Bortles or Teddy Bridgewater, or would you rather try to trade a second-round pick for Ryan Mallett?
Well, I'd rather have Johnny Manziel if he was there up at the very
really?
Top. And I would rather have Bridgewater, personally, than Ryan Mallett. So,
how about you, Handsome Hank?
I think Johnny Football going anywhere is going to be fun to watch. I just want to see him somewhere.
If you're the Texans, you're just sort of this franchise that's been around for now, 15 years, and you've had some ups, but it feels like you're always going to be... As you're basically the Clippers to the Cowboys in that state. I mean, the Clippers to the Lakers. You're always going to be that to the Cowboys in that state. Go for the local guy. You might know he's not a Houston kid, but, you know, A&M guy. It's a great story after a terrible season. The fan base would be aroused by this. But then again, Johnny Football in that AFC North would make that whole division awesome. All those teams you could see winning double-digit games. None would be a surprise 2014 winning double-digit games.
That's the way I look at drafting Johnny Manziel. It's like, what are you going to get if you take somebody else? The whole thing, if you take Johnny Manziel and he fails, like, all right, he wasn't a good player, things didn't work out, that happens. If you pass on him and he becomes like the second coming or something like that, that's one you're never going to live down for about 15 years.
All right, so Black Tie's giving us the wrap-it-up sign. What's going on there? Oh, Akbar wants to say something? Look, Akbar Bajabiamila.
Wait, Akbar's sitting in seat one, like Grant, like the first seat
right.
on the plane.
If he's there, then if he comes back here, he's giving up his seat for me. He can sit right
now,
here.
This is terrible.
Akbar Bajabiamila today, as we were on the bus on the way to the airport, showed off a glove. He has a mitten.
Yeah.
You know how you do like that thing, call me, like Hollywood agents do, hey, give me a call kind of thing with the hand? He has a glove, and he does that, and it's actually a phone, and he proved it to Handsome Hank. He called you from his hand, but it's funny because he looks like an insane man. Looks like, oh, the poor thing is talking into his hand. Just let him do it. Huh?
Right.
All right. Final thoughts before we close it out here from 30,000 feet in the sky. Daniel Jeremiah, I'll start with you. You go off to the combine in less than 3 weeks now. No end to football season.
Yeah, my season's getting ready to crank up. A lot of tape to watch, a lot of work to do, but it's going to be fun.
Really
fun
excited draft. To see.
Fun draft. You look at Clowney, we haven't talked about him. We're talking about him a lot going forward. He'll be a fun one to keep an eye on.
All right, so that'll be good for you. I wish I was joining you. That trip to Indy is a fun one every year. Handsome Hank, your thoughts. Final words.
I tell you what, if you're flying on a plane anytime soon, please, please make sure you look at the early spring 2014 edition of SkyMall. There's some great content in there, I advise.
Like what? Give me your top two items.
My top two items, number one right now, something that I've already ordered while I was online on the plane, pajama jeans. I don't think there's any of us who haven't wanted to sleep in jeans before. Now you can with pajama jeans. In a multitude of colors, including purple or green. That's pretty amazing.
Who has purple regular jeans?
Well, it doesn't matter. Now you can get pajama jeans instead. All right. And then the other one, Black Tie's been using a normal pillow that you use on a plane. You wrap around your neck. You can now sleep comfortably in any seat with a sky rest.
Breaking news,
folks. Have a look.
Breaking
Check
news.
It out. You want
a
it.
A plane scheduled to land at LAX is now going to Vegas
to
refill.
By the way, we just had the worst announcement of my life. We're stopping
We're going
Vegas.
To Vegas.
And we're not going to be able to get off the plane.
An emergency landing in Vegas?
We're stopping
Breaking
to get fuel
news,
in Vegas.
Breaking news.
We're not going to be able to stop and get off the plane, of course. But
let's do part two of this podcast in Vegas
on
the tarmac.
From New York Hotel and Casino this time.
I will make a deal. If we wrap this one up right now, we can do part two in Vegas.
You're tough but fair, boss. Mark.
Wait, hold on. Let me say this to my new best friend, Jay Novacek. Thanks for listening.
Those are your final words?
Those are my final words.
All right, listen. Black Tie, thanks for hooking up these mics. Daniel Jeremiah, a pleasure as always. Now
shout out to Hank, though.
Over.
This is originally his idea. It's wacky
Plane
and crazy
cast,
as I thought
Plane
it
cast.
Was.
Number one, the first of many.
First ever, yeah.
I think it went all right. I was going to say earlier, maybe a sponsorship is in our near future.
Yeah.
Maybe every podcast we do will have to fly now from now on. But Jeremiah also pointed out maybe our next podcast should be done out at sea. You know,
sky's the limit,
fun.
Guys.
All right, and Adam Rank. And everybody else making all the noise. We didn't let it get in our way. Why? Because we're pros. All right. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce in the very near future. We'll put a finer point on what we saw in the Super Bowl, and we'll project ahead. All that jazz. Hopefully we're even going to talk to Seattle Seahawks star of the Super Bowl, Cliff Avril, one of the many defensive stars there.
Should have won the MVP.
Malcolm
Smith won enough two plays that – right place at the right time.
Here we go, the Black
Tie wrap-up. Should have
been
Cliff Avril.
Early word is Cliff Avril may be in Studio 66 later in the week. So whether or not that happens, we'll be back to make more noise for you. Like I say, though, in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.